to find out, you know, what we were both covering and what we were emphasizing.
Right. And how the students were reacting. Mm-hmm. So what were our students like? Were they well prepared for college? Were they well prepared for math?
They were typical math students.
Oh, good.
Freshman,
what does that
math
mean?
Students that, if they weren't math majors, they didn't see a need for math. So that was a typical type thing. It was one of those where you had to get them motivated to do mm-hmm. the mathematics. And it was always one of those things that I found it didn't make any difference where you were. They came into college, they had either good math skills or they had deficiencies. Mm-hmm. And they were going to tell you about the deficiencies on the very first day, that I don't like math, I've never been good in math. And you had to work around building up there, you know. But I had a six of them that I really remember, because I remember one person being a math major, and I did teach a class of majors, that told me that he only wanted to get his degree so that he could put Doc on the front of his truck. He intended to be a long-distance truck driver. And he ended up, he got his master's degree and was driving a long-distance truck driver when I last caught up with him. And that was about 15 years after I left Appalachia.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. And what about those other five students?
The
what
other
do you remember?
Five, I remember all six of them ended up getting a master's degree, not necessarily at Appalachia, but I kept up with them for at least 20 years after I left.
Oh, isn't that
you
great?
That they were just the type of students that you wanted to follow all the way through to make certain that they were going to
Isn't that successful? That's great. Yeah, I love that when I hear faculty talk about students, that the students continued to interact with them and vice mm-hmm. versa, because they were so important. What was your most satisfying work memories from Appalachian?
I think interacting with the students and finding out from my first quarter to the last quarter, those that were successful, you know, because I remember the first class I went to and how scared I was. But following through with those people to see that they made it through their freshman year.
Yeah, oh, that's great. Because you were really making it through your freshman
right.
year of teaching.
Yeah.
And were you involved in any other activities outside of teaching on campus?
Well,
did they make you sit on committees or anything like that?
I was on a couple committees in the math department, but I was also asked to be an advisor for a new group. At the time that I was teaching, mm-hmm. there were approximately 30 African-American students, and they were arranging a social life for them. Elsie Curtin's the one that I remember most. And she ends up having to be a sorority sister of mine as well. But she's started an organization, and the college provided funds for them to have social events.
Great.
And my husband and I would chaperone them.
Great. Yeah.
What was the name of the organization?
I don't think it had a name to begin with, mm-hmm. and I know it ended up with one, but I don't think it did one to begin with. It just was the Black Student
Association.
Government.
It's still it.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, in fact, we didn't meet on campus because there wasn't a place for them to have their first social on campus. It was at a church, a fellowship hall that was right off of the main strip. And I think the church is still there.
First Baptist?
Yeah, probably was. But it was interesting that they wanted to make certain that these students had a way to socialize among themselves if they wanted to, or to be involved with others. And they made a really big push of making certain you couldn't have students meeting without having a chaperone.
Good.
And that was one of the things that I volunteered to do. And my husband, being older, was allowed to do as well.
That's great. That's great. And you mentioned a name and said she was a sorority sister, did you mention?
Elsie Curtin.
And do you know Elsie Curtin?
I know the name.
Oh, how interesting. And she was a graduate. Student at the time.
Right.
Oh, that's great.
Her name has come up in the research that the students are doing. We have a project that we're working on, African American History at Appalachian. And her name has come up as one of the organizers of BSA. So we're trying to get in touch with her so we can interview her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
I will shoot you the information because someplace she gave me her card.
Okay.
Okay.
Fantastic. That's a great connection.
And I know we're friends on Facebook, so if nothing else, I can get you that information.
Fantastic. So why did you leave Appalachian? And what were you going to right after you left Appalachian?
I had signed a contract for another year.
Oh.
And my advisor at Livingstone had decided to take a sabbatical and wanted me to come back to Livingstone to teach. And I had made a promise to the president at Livingstone when I graduated that if I ever got a master's, I would come back and teach there.
Oh.
And Dr. Duncan had passed when I was in grad school. But I wanted to honor that promise that I had made him. So I went down one Saturday and had an interview with the president at Livingstone and got hired to teach there.
That's great. You just went to all these direct interviews directly to the president. That's great.
Because the only day I could go down was on a Saturday, and it happened to be he was in the office that day.
That's great. He was probably in the office because you were coming. I'll swing back to a final question about your experience at Appalachian later, but after leaving Appalachian, you continued your career in higher education. Mm-hmm. Will you tell us about where you taught and worked? And then I ask you about getting your doctoral degree as well. So you might want to just tell us all together.
Okay. I went to Livingstone and I taught there for 9 years.
9 years. Wow.
And in between those times, I was sort of deciding about what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Math was fulfilling, but I was getting sort of uneased about doing math all the time. So I decided, I had taken some computer classes over at the local community college.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided, well, maybe I want to do something else for a change. And I went in to register for a COBOL class. Mm-hmm. And as I was standing in line to register for the class, the lady ahead of me asked who was going to be teaching her intro to computers class. And the person there said, the lady behind you. And that happened to be my advisor that I had at the community college. And I says, what? And he says, well, we want you to start teaching some classes for us. So I had started teaching classes at the community college.
And was that the Rowan
Cabarrus? Rowan Cabarrus.
Yep, okay.
And it was Rowan Technical Institute at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And ended up, that particular person hired me to teach the next quarter for two classes. And he had an opening that summer and asked me to apply for that one. There was also an opening in mathematics at the same school, so I applied for both of them. I got interviewed for the computer job first, and the person that was doing the interviewing, the dean said that, well, if this doesn't pan out, when can we set up the interview for the math one? I took the job during the programming classes, and I was there for 11 years.
Wow.
I went from being an instructor in programming to being a department chair programming and all the business courses they had there. And we went from being a technical institute to a community college in the time. And then I decided that...
Before you leave there, what was the name of the department when you were over the computer and the business classes? Do you remember?
It was just called business computing.
Business computing. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's great. That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah, that it was one of those things where it was a loose structure because they were just getting some structure in. Yeah. So they ended up with three department chairs. One of them was in the business area, one of them was in the trade area, and one was in nursing.
Oh, very interesting. Yeah, that's great. And did you increase in rank during that time at...
The community college system does not have a rank.
Okay.
So I stayed as an instructor for those. I ended up making my own job there.
Yeah.
I started out just teaching programming classes. Then I switched to teaching programming classes and accounting classes.
Oh, yeah.
And that was during a time when personal computers came up.
Yeah.
And remember the Tandy Radio Shack computers?
Oh, yeah. Elin may not. She's such a baby.
Programming on those. And then when IBM came out with their computers, I talked the president into buying a set for the college.
Great.
And I started teaching people, training them how to do what we called 4GL courses, WordPerfect and Lotus and DBase 3.
Yeah.
And moved into doing corporate training for classes as opposed to doing just programming of classes. And when I left there in 1990, my job was department chair as well as heading up corporate training.
Wow, that is great. And that corporate training may have been a start of when you came to Winston-Salem State, being in the Teaching and Learning Excellence Center.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's great. Oh, yeah. So somewhere in there you got a PhD.
I didn't get my PhD until I came to Winston-Salem.
Okay, great. Okay.
When I left Rowan Cabarrus, I went back to Livingstone.
Oh, okay.
And I taught there for 10 years. I went initially as the CIO because I was going to do an administrative job. And decided after 2 years I didn't like doing that, so I went back into teaching. And then I had a friend over here that was starting up a teaching learning center for faculty.
Yeah.
And that's how I got to Winston-Salem State. And basically I spent 11 years here training faculty on how to infuse technology into their classroom.
Fantastic. And of course, as a library administrator, I'm very well familiar. Appalachian Center is now called the Center for Academic Excellence.
Mm-hmm.
And the members of that center staff used to be housed in the new library, now are actually in the library that you knew when you were there, that building. So when you came to Winston-Salem State, then did you start your doctoral degree?
Right.
All right.
I started
Tell
that
us about
one.
That.
And it was one of these that I had, when I did my master's work, I had taken comps to do a doctoral program. I had been working off and on with classes, and one of the persons that I had taken a class with decided that it might be time for me to go ahead and finish the degree. Excuse me. So I ended up working on a program of study that was tailor-made. I'd already taken most of the coursework I needed, and I ended up taking six more classes sitting for new comps, and then working with an individual, because I was mainly interested in doing professional development and distance learning. The last three classes I took were distance classes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but you were ahead of your time. Yeah. That's great.
It was an interesting time to be getting a degree, and it was an interesting way to get a degree. So.
Yeah, and which institution did
American.
You get? American. American. Mm-hmm. That's great.
And when was that?
2007. No, 2004. I guess 2007 is when I took my trip.
What trip did you take in 2007?
2007, I took a month-long trip to Ghana as a celebration of it. Because that was Ghana's 50th year of independence, and I wanted to celebrate as well.
A month-long trip, and have you been back?
I've been back, but not to West Africa. I went to East Africa the next time.
Wonderful. So you remain very involved at Livingstone, because now I know, mm-hmm. I thought you were working on Winston-Salem Homecoming, but you were working on Livingstone Homecoming. But you remain very, you're still working at Winston-Salem.
Right.
Great. And you're still in the teaching and learning
center? No, this time I'm teaching education courses. They had a faculty member to leave, and he was doing educational media, so I picked up his courses.
Great. You are versatile. So now you're teaching educational media.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about your involvement at Livingstone and at Winston-Salem State.
I'm a life member of the Alumni Association at Livingstone, and I am active with their athletic department, and also the athletic department over here at Winston-Salem State. That's the area that I chose to concentrate on, is working with student athletes.
And were you yourself an athlete in college? Why did you choose that?
I like athletics, but Title IX was not alive when I was in school.
Yeah.
And I was very active in athletics in high school and intramurals, I went to Livingstone and found out that Northern women participated in athletics, but Southern ladies did not.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I had to quickly, part of learning at Livingstone was how to be a Southern lady.
That's interesting. Aren't we all glad that's changed?
Yes.
And now, whether you're South or North, you can participate in sports, etc. And actually, I saw, I believe, on the Winston-Salem State University website that you have a scholarship in your name for student-athlete here.
For softball.
Oh, that's great. Oh, fantastic. So you follow, you're supportive of all sports.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. And how do you manage? So the two universities, the Livingstone and Winston-Salem State, aren't so far apart, but you're going to football games at both of them?
Right. I go to football games. I keep up with scores for both of them. It's very helpful to have Twitter accounts and Facebook, because if they have games at the same time, I can keep up with what's going on at the other one by watching on Twitter and Facebook.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I love it. So I believe you're a member of a Divine Nine organization.
Yes.
As is Lynn Patterson, who's sitting right here with us. Would you be willing to tell us where and when you joined and what influenced your decision to join?
I became a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated in December 1965.
Wow.
Yes, I've been a member for 52 years.
So that was when you were an undergraduate at Livingstone.
At Livingstone.
How long has the chapter been there?
The chapter just celebrated their 70th anniversary this year, this past week.
And Lynn, that's your sorority as well. Mm-hmm. But you joined as an adult, if I'm correct.
I did. I joined Hickory Alumni 2014.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I'm brand new.
Yes, you are a new
I still have pillow prints of this.
But Lynn is one of the sponsors for our students who are members of that sorority.
Okay. Chapter at Appalachian. Right.
And I just admire so much what Lynn does with our students. It's really remarkable. So what has the sorority meant to you through the years?
It has been always, no matter where I go, I can find a sorority sister. I remember walking across the campus in Boston, not knowing anybody other than the four people from my school that were there, and they weren't all necessarily on my campus, and I saw someone with our symbols on her shirt, and immediately knew I had a connection with her. By her wearing her symbols, I found 20 other people that were on campus with the same mindset, and we ended up having a grand time reuniting because we had something in common. And that's always been the case, no matter where I've gone.
And what were you doing in Boston?
I was attending a summer institute on training for faculty members to improve retention at HBCUs in mathematics.
Great. Oh, that's great.
So that's, but the sorority has, it's been a vehicle for me to do the work I like to do. I like to do volunteer work, so I can pick and choose the projects that I want. And when I was in school, one of my favorite projects was reading.
Mm.
And the sorority had been one of the founders of Reading is Essential, and they were sponsoring buses to for libraries that were traveling libraries. And that was how I got involved in doing that.
Oh, that's great. Of course, my librarian heart just loves that. Wonderful. And you're still active?
Still active. Very active.
That's great.
Which chapter?
Salisbury Alumni.
Oh, yeah.
That's great. Fantastic. I have come to know a little bit more about the Divine Nine and respect their place in African-American higher education a great deal. I've been very impressed. So overall, what would you consider the impact of Appalachian on your life?
I think it has increased what I give back to people. I know that without the advanced degree, I probably would not have as impact as many people as I have, because had I stayed at just the high school level, I don't think I would have stayed in teaching.
Uh-huh.
I'm almost certain I wouldn't. I've never, other than my student teaching, I've never taught public school, but by teaching community college and college level, I've had a greater impact on students. I was looking back a couple of years ago at the number of students that I had taught, and just in the community college alone, it was over 10,000 students that I had taught, because I was there for 11 years.
Oh,
and
my gosh, that's wonderful.
We started out having, they told me when I went there the first year that I would have 11 majors to advise. It ended up that was the year that we had a bumper crop come in, and I had 300 to advise.
Well, from 11 to 300.
Yeah. That's when we had standing room only for classes, and had to run evening classes as well as day classes to get all of our majors in.
Wow. I love that answer, that you have impacted more students because of your advanced degree from Appalachian. And really, I think a lot of the faculty who are at Appalachian now love that aspect of their work when they can interact and impact students. Dr. Anderson, in 2015, you were given a much-deserved honor at Appalachian's commemoration of integration. You were given one of the Faces of Courage Awards. Were you surprised about the award? Were you pleased with the recognition from Appalachian?
I was really surprised. I did not see it as courage. I think it was one of those things that I just accepted that that's okay, that you can go ahead and do this, that it was a pleasant surprise. And when I talked to the other recipients, we were all talking about our experiences that we had while we were at Appalachian, but it wasn't, I don't think it was anything courageous to do just to go to school. I think I got a lot more out of it by attending than possibly people that had admitted me. Yeah.
I don't know. I think we really named the award well. Because from my perspective, even hearing about you reflecting on that time, it did take courage for you to be one of, I think you said, six students where you were a graduate student. And you had come from a historically black institution. I think it's a remarkable story. And I'm so glad that the university honored you as well as the other recipients.
That was a pleasant surprise. And I really, when I was talking to Dr. Durham afterwards, both of us were amazed that, looking back at it, that we had done something like that, because we just looked at it as we're getting in students and we're producing people that are going to go out and be a good product and help to make other students that are going to be good products. We didn't look at it as being something that monumental.
That's great. And people give Dr. Durham such credit for making Appalachian a welcoming campus.
Yeah.
And when he became an administrator and provost for many years, decades, people give him lots and lots of credit. I really respect his influence.
And he kept up with people. I know that when I came back here and the provost was in a meeting with him when he was provost at Appalachian, and he mentioned to say hello to me. And my Dr. Johnson says something about, somebody boom said something about you. And I says, what? He says, there's this gentleman up here, I don't remember what his name was, but he said to tell you hello that he had taught you. I'll bet you mean Dr. Durham. But he was an interesting person. And like I said, I only had the one class with him, but he kept up with all of us.
Well,
after we left class.
And you became his colleague in the math department, so that's great. Well, Dr. Anderson, do you have any other thoughts to share with us? Anything that I didn't ask or that Lynn didn't ask that you might want to share? And Lynn, you might have a question or two.
Okay. Tell me about the African-American students on campus, the ones that you advised. What were they like?
Oh, that's great. This is when you
were... The ones I advised?
When you were a full-time, the 69-70 academic year.
I didn't have any to advise.
When you were the advisor, or when you were a sponsor for
that. The ones that I worked with?
Yeah.
They were a joy to work with. I mean, they were very polite. They had a definite mindset about what they wanted to do. And I kept up with a couple. I kept up with Elsie, obviously. But another one married one of my students that I ended up having at Livingstone when I went back. She sadly passed last year, or 2 years ago, French. But I kept up with her, and she enjoyed her experience at Appalachian as well. And I have met, I think, one other student that I kept up with. But most of them have interesting stories to tell about being at Appalachian. Most of it was about they learned to be assertive while they were there.
Uh-huh. That makes sense. Lynn, when did you start as an undergraduate at Appalachian?
86.
86. So okay. It was, it was 16 years later. So very interesting, yeah. But I think you probably have stories to tell about being an undergraduate as well.
Yeah, I was there during the Dr. Fleming time. So.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
So, Dr. Anderson, do you have any other thoughts to share with us about Appalachian or about your career or about working with students in higher education settings?
I know every time I've been back to Appalachian, and I've been back several times since I left, I've always felt welcomed. And the faculty that were there have always been welcome. I've seen several of them since I've left and went back for workshops. Fortunately, all of them have retired now, I think. They were trying to tell me that I was supposed to leave as well. But it was interesting, and it's always interesting to go back and find out what people have been doing. Yeah.
That's great. Well, I want to thank you for spending the morning with us. This has been so much fun. I've learned so much about you and what you have done, Dr. Anderson. And I also wanted to say for the record, for people listening to this recording, that you made a video when you received the Faces of Courage Award. And listeners who are interested can find that video on Appalachian State University's website. But this interview then has enriched and added to that video. And we're so pleased you could do the interview with us
today.
Thank
you so much. I've enjoyed it.
Thank you.